Well, it's amazing how devoted you can be to someone or something, isn't it? I wonder if I mention Tay-Tay to you, I'm sure many of you don't actually know who I'm talking about. And if I talk about Swifties, well, you've probably got even less clue. But let me tell you, there are millions of people around the world who are devoted to this one person. Now, in fact, if you're on Instagram, you'll see that she has over 269 million followers, okay? Just a few more than me. So who is she? Anyone know? Alan. Do you know? Yeah, who is it? Taylor Swift. Even Alan knows. Well, that's great. That's great. I didn't know you were a Swiftie. But that's fantastic. Yes, yeah, so if her name's Taylor Swift, and if you follow her, then you're a Swiftie. Now, we have a few with us here today, and a few weeks back, a few of us, I know I did, tried to get some tickets to her concert. Evie, Corrine, and myself were there for 4 to 5 grueling hours just waiting for our chance to buy a ticket. You know, we did all the right things, made sure we're on different IP addresses. You have to get technical with these things, otherwise they boot you off. But it's amazing what you'll do when you're devoted to someone or something, isn't it? We're a bit disappointed that we didn't get tickets, but we can still crank up the music and have a good listen to her tunes. When you're devoted to someone or something, then you're passionate, you're committed, you give your all to the thing that you're committed to. Now, today in Acts, we see the devotion of the early church to the gospel. We see their commitment to the gospel, to the good news that Jesus saved them from their sin. Now, I've got 3 points for you today that revolve around devotion to the gospel. And as we just learned from the kids' talk this morning, devotion means our heart is set on it. Wasn't that great? I thought that was a fantastic definition. And what we'll see in your outlines is that devotion is a response to the gospel. Devotion doesn't move from the gospel. And devotion attracts outsiders to the gospel. So first, devotion is a response to the gospel. Well, if you look at our passage for today, you can see that in verse 42, because I'm looking at verses 42 to 47, it has the word they there. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so we need to ask, well, who is the they? And thankfully, Julia read from verse 40, where we see who the they are. We'll read that again anyway. Verse 40. With many other words, he warned them, that's Peter, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Now this, remember, comes at the end of Peter's sermon last week. And then we read in verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So the 3,000, that's the they. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And as we heard last week, the good news of Jesus needs to be responded to. There's a need to repent. Jesus has lived, died, and rose again. And this is the gospel, and the response that's needed is repentance. Turn from living your way, start living Jesus' way. And here at the beginning of verse 42, we see that they're devoted to a number of things, and we're going to see that in our second point. But what I want you to see here is their devotion they have is a response to hearing the good news about Jesus. We respond by trusting or repenting that Jesus is both Saviour and Lord, and this produces a response of devotion to Jesus. We see this a few times in these verses. In verse 42, it says they devoted themselves. In verse 44, we see that the believers came together and they shared everything in common. In verse 46, we see every day they continued to meet together, and this uses the same word for devotion as well. They were devoted to one another. See, these verses remind us that devotion comes from the gospel. Now, Peter in his sermon clearly explained the gospel, that Jesus died for sinners, and even though he spoke to the very people who sent Jesus to his death, the response the response that they need to the gospel and this is to repent, and this same gospel belief drives them to be devoted to Jesus. Now, devotion comes at many levels. One of those is devotion to sport. And I don't know if you've seen a video by Steve Smith. I'm not a cricketer, so but I saw this video and I thought it was very interesting. And he goes through all the bats that he has in his bag. And he says that I think that every bat looks the same, but apparently not. He says that each bit of wood is slightly different, which means each bat is not the same. Steve actually numbers all his bats, and in the video he put about 8 bats on a table, and he put post-it notes on each bat with the number of the bat. And in the video they then blindfold Steve and they hand him one bat after another, and he grabs the bat and he taps it on the ground, he swings it, and he says, "Oh, number 23 and he's right. And then they give him another bat, and he taps it, swings it, has a bit of a, touches it, 21. And on he goes, naming all the bats. See, this is the level of devotion he has to his game, that he knows these bats intimately. See, this is the devotion that we see here in this new church, a dedication to God that drives them to listen to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to fellowship. And it all comes as a response to the gospel. I wonder if your understanding of the gospel drives you to this level of devotion. Do you devote yourself to this level of commitment to hearing the word of God, to reminding yourself once again of the gospel? Do you devote yourself to throwing off what hinders your relationship with Jesus? Do you devote yourself to the believers around you? See, this is the kind of devotion that comes from hearing and responding to the gospel. So devotion is a response to the gospel. And we come to our second point now, and what we see is that devotion doesn't move from the gospel. The gospel is the driver for all they do. The gospel drives their teaching, we see in verse 42, where it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And we may wonder, well, what were they teaching? What were the apostles teaching? And it doesn't say what they were teaching, but of course they would have taught the gospel. The apostles would have taken this time to share about all that Jesus had done while he lived with them, what he taught them. When I think about it, I imagine that many of as they were driven by the Spirit, that the beginnings of the New Testament were written as they started teaching people here, reminding each other of what Jesus did for them, how he rescued them from their sin. The passages from the Old Testament that Jesus shared would have come to mind as they taught everyone all that Jesus had taught them. Now, all of what I've just mentioned are all aspects of the gospel, aren't they? All those who heard this good news then devoted themselves to learning more and more about this same gospel, devoted to the apostles' teaching. But the gospel also drove them to have fellowship with one another. Now we see this clearly in verse 42, but we see it also in verse 44 and 45, where they had everything in common, and in verse 46, where they continued to meet together, praising God and eating together. It says, I look at it, this is a group that's been impacted by the gospel and expresses this gospel in terms of time spent together. I lived in a community when I first became a Christian. It was a great experience. There was probably about 20 people living on the site where I was living. And each day we'd ask one another if we'd read our Bible, if we'd prayed. We'd pray for one another. We'd talk about sin that we were struggling with. We did lots of things. And we shared life, and we shared about passages that we're reading. It was a great time. It was a great time of learning for me. And living in community like this is wonderful. Living with people who understand the gospel and try as hard as they can to apply it to their lives. And I think that's a picture of what we see here in Acts. 3,000 people. It's a big number. Bruce showed us that. Responded to the call of the gospel on their lives, and they devoted themselves to one another. Hearing from the apostles, understanding, asking questions, eating together, sharing meals, all of it as a response to hearing the good news that Jesus has saved them from their sin. The gospel. Their devotion didn't move from the gospel, but their devotion came from the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus that changes who you are. It makes you new. It makes you whole. It changes every part of you. And we're seeing some of that change here in these few verses, aren't we? One way that that change is seen is in this passage as well. And it's the gospel that drove their generosity. Look at verses 44 and 45, where it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Can you see what the gospel's done to these people? It made them generous. It made them care for one another like they hadn't done before. In the case of the early church, their response made them sell what they did have and give to those who didn't have. And we need to ask the question, well, why aren't we doing this today? Why don't we sell our possessions and give to those in need? Well, we're going to come across this a number of times as you go through the book of Acts. This book is a description of events in the early church. It describes what happened, when things occurred, who did what. But what we need to realize is that although it describes a lot of things, it doesn't say we have to do the same. Now, a way to remember that is by saying that the book of Acts is descriptive and not prescriptive. You may have heard that before. Tells us what happened, but doesn't tell us what we should do. Doesn't tell us that we should do exactly what they did. Descriptive, not prescriptive. Now, in this case, we don't focus on selling things in order to provide for those without, but we focus on giving for the sake of others. See, that's the principle at play here. Sacrifice is required to look after those who need our help. It may mean selling something, but it's not limited to selling something. It doesn't have to be that way. You may be able to provide without selling anything. What they're trying to do here is look after those who have responded to the gospel by providing for one another's needs. People heard the gospel, but were obviously without the means to look after themselves. And so others who had also been impacted by the gospel rally together, give things up, and share with those in need. Now, I think we can call it gospel generosity. Their generosity comes from an understanding of the gospel. Now, some of you may have heard about that family who came back from being missionaries in Groote Eylandt. They were back here visiting churches, and when they had a serious car accident that left the mother paralysed. Now, this family was left without the means to set up a place to look after themselves. They were in need. So APWM asked the church to give so that this family could be provided for. They asked for $800,000. And when they asked for that, I was shocked. I thought, wow, that is a lot of money. Well, why would people give to look after this family? They wanted to build a house and give this family a place to live. And I was doubtful. But the church was very generous because one of their own was without. And the church raised over $850,000, more than what they needed. See, this comes from gospel generosity. Now, I'm no Scotsman. I come from a Dutch family. But I've heard lots about Scottish people being tight. But this response to building this family a church is generous. It's a response to being gospel-focused. From a gospel heart comes gospel generosity. Is this what the gospel is doing to your generosity? As a church, we're dependent on people being generous. We're getting to a point where we may need to get someone else to work alongside me. And that means we need to be generous. We want to put chairs in this room to allow for God's kingdom to grow beyond what we're able to with pews. So we need to be generous. We want to renovate the kitchen to continue providing great morning teas for those who come each Sunday. So we need to be generous. See, from a gospel heart comes gospel generosity. Do you see and understand what Jesus has done for you and let that decide how generous you can be? Well, let's pray that we'll be gospel-driven and have hearts of gospel generosity. So do you see how devotion to the gospel doesn't move from the gospel? At this early, all this early church did comes from having the gospel at the centre. It comes from a gospel heart that we desire to learn more about Jesus. It comes from a gospel heart that we desire to care for one another, and having a gospel heart drives our generosity. Is this what you're seeing in your life? Do you see how much Jesus has saved you, and let that be the driver for you to learn more, to join a Bible study? Does your heart for the gospel give you a desire to care for those around you? Are you looking or even hunting for opportunities to serve here at church? Does this gospel heart mean that you're not a practicing Scotsman, but your generosity comes from your thankful heart because Jesus has given so much for you? See, devotion to the gospel doesn't move from the gospel. And as we're heading to our last point for today, we need to see that all that the early church became was a result of the gospel's impact in their life. Who they were was a result of their devotion to the good news that Jesus has lived, died, and risen for them, the gospel. And what we see in this last point is that this devotion draws outsiders to the gospel. And we see this in verse 47, the final sentence of this passage, where as a result of who they became, look at what happens. Verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, devotion to the gospel is contagious. And once we understand what Jesus has saved us from, our lives are completely changed, aren't they? Many of us are testament to that. We're new people. And boy, oh boy, it's attractive. We look at these few verses and we can't see all the change in the 3,000 people that repented and were baptized. But we can understand how they spent time listening to the apostles' teaching, learning what Jesus taught, learning how to be a new person, because now they're spirit-filled people who've been chosen by God. And it drove this group to do things we find hard to explain, sharing their possessions and caring for one another, so that in this life as believers, they poured out grace upon one another that reflected the grace that Jesus showed them. And this is exactly what we see in verse 47. But let me read from verse 46 so we can see this picture that's being described. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all people. See, this is what the early church experienced. But I want to focus on that phrase at the beginning of verse 47 where it says, enjoying the favour of all people. See, the grace that Jesus has shown them was now the grace they showed one another. They showed favour, which is the word for grace. They had a gracious attitude towards one another. Now, if you've ever got an email from me, and I'm sure many of you have, you'll notice at the bottom of the email are the words, by his grace. Now, you may wonder why I do that. I started doing it in 2015. It was a difficult year for me in 2015. I just started my role as in leading a team in Ecuador, and there were many times that I had to respond to emails, and many times things didn't go according to plan. As emails do, people misunderstand what you write, and I misunderstand what they'd written, and it was a disaster. But somehow God used that disastrous time to get me focused on the grace that Jesus had for me. I remember having that song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus, going over and over in my head for a long time. I even made some banners on my computer to get me focused on Jesus' grace for me. And as a result, I was compelled to show grace to those around me. Now, I look back at 2015 and 16 and think I grew more in those 2 years than I ever have, working out what the grace of Jesus is for me and how I can express that same grace to those around me. And one of the ways I do that is by reminding myself in emails that it is by God's grace. I made a decision not to make it part of my email signature, which is a very easy thing to do, and it just appears every time you send an email. But I made a decision to write it every time, to remind myself to be gracious in what I say and to be gracious in how I hear. Now, it's helped me with my emails. I hope it's helped me as I live alongside other believers, alongside you guys. See, I want to live the grace that Jesus has shown me. Now, am I a perfect model? I doubt it. But I want to know Jesus more, and I want to show his grace to others. See, this is what I imagine the early church was doing as they learnt about Jesus and his saving work for them. And as they grew and were compelled by the grace of Jesus, they showed the grace. They showed grace to one another. And God added to their number daily. Their devotion drew outsiders to the gospel. And the big question is, are we devoted to the gospel? Does our devotion to the gospel bring people in? I think in many ways there are people with us who are here today who have seen a picture of our devotion to the gospel. But if any of you are like me, then, well, there's still work to do, isn't there? There are still ways for us to be driven by the gospel, to have glad and sincere hearts, like it says in verse 46, to praise God and enjoy pouring out grace upon one another. Now, I may not have any Taylor Swift tickets, and I can't go to the show when she comes to Sydney, but I am part of something else. My trust is in Jesus, and I'm part of something amazing. I'm devoted to Jesus because he has saved me from my sins and has given me eternal life. So what about you? Are you trusting in Jesus' sacrifice for your sins? Is your hope in Jesus? Well, if so, is this picture of devotion a picture of your life? Are you devoted to the gospel of Jesus? Are you devoted to learning more about Jesus? Are you devoted to other believers? And are you devoted to being generous for the sake of the gospel? Lots of things to think about. So let's pray and ask God that he may help us grow in our devotion of him. Let's pray. Father God, we praise your name for your transforming gospel. As we hear about the love we've been shown through your Son, we ask that it will compel us to love like we've never loved before. Give us your Spirit to help us. Give us a devotion that shows us we've been changed by your Spirit. Help us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.